The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, all? Aaron, but not that Aaron, here to tell you about SifPop Writer's Room. For the past several years, there have been a growing amount of writers for SifPop.com providing best ever challenges, movie reviews, themes, legacies, connections, and so much more. SifPop Writer's Room is where that all comes together, giving a voice to those words that you read. And on the show, every week is excellent, getting to chat such a wide variety of movies with a wide variety of movie lovers, and I'm really having a lot of fun with the show, and I just think that you would too. So check out SifPop Writer's Room wherever you listen to your podcast, and we'll see you over there. Just remember to knock first.
How's it going?
Can you hear me? I cannot hear you.
I should probably turn my mic on.
Oh, there she is. Yep, yep.
Caleb Chapman is the lead singer, songwriter, and guitarist for the band Colony House. Does that last name ring a bell? That's because he is one of the sons of Christian rock royalty, Stephen Curtis Chapman. I highly recommend their song, You Got It. Go listen to that before you dive into this episode of What Else?
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
On my way into work today, I'm listening to the new live album, and I get through four songs. I have this sense of, all right, it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. What would you consider a great compliment for your music? What is a compliment for Colony House?
That was a great compliment that you just paid us. I love the idea of that sense of hope that everything is going to be okay. Like, you feel less alone after being at a Colony House show or listening to a Colony House album. So when we hear things like that, I think that brings it home. A good reminder that, like, this is worth the time away from our families, and this is worth the, you know, long hours and sleepless nights. You know, I will say on a lighter note that one of the greatest compliments we've ever received was after the show in Denver. This girl came up to the merch table or something. We were out and about, and she goes, hey, have you ever seen the movie The Sandlot?
Man, this is baseball. You got to stop thinking. You just have fun.
Climb trees, hop fences, get into trouble.
And I was like, it's almost offensive that you asked. But yes, it's one of the greatest films of all time. Of course I've seen that. And she goes, when I watch your band, it feels like if The Sandlot was a band. And I was like, I have to tell you, that's the greatest compliment anyone has ever paid me or my band. That, like, ragtag group of just the guys that just go do it. You know, the line in that movie, it's like they just played. They didn't keep score. They just played because they loved the game. I love creating that environment. Like, we are up on stage and we're just playing because we love the game.
Is that going to be a new subtitle, you think, for the new album? Is Colony House subtitle The Sandlot Band?
We have this song called You Know It. And when I originally wrote that song, it was about The Sandlot. A lot of times when I get hung up on lyrics, I just pick favorite movies and I just write a song about. I'll just fill in the lyrics to get like a melody going. And it's like, oh, the plot line's already written out here. I can just write a song about this. And then usually I take one idea from that and it like explodes into the song.
I got to get some context on a photo you pushed out. Tell me about two car garage, football in the air.
Ooh, good question. Oh, yeah, I know the photo. I know it.
This is the content I am here for.
For sure. Me too. I need to call my mom more often and be like, hey, send the scans over. So to the podcast listener, the photo is of me and my brother, who is in the band Colony House with me. We're probably 8 and 9 in that photo, 7 and 8 maybe. I don't know. We're young lads. We've got cargo pants on. We're standing next to a single snare drum and a guitar leaning against the wall, I believe. And we look tough as nails. And it is the album art of our very first single, Football in the Air. We were in a band called Two Car Garage. It was just the two of us. We got the name because my brother was missing his two front teeth and my mom said it looked like a two-car garage. We thought, gosh, that's so punk rock. We are Two Car Garage. And out of the kindness of my father's heart, he let us come into the studio when he was recording who knows what album. And we recorded that with his producer. And we probably recorded it in a nicer studio than we've ever recorded anything in. And he made us little jewel case CDs. We thought were the biggest thing since sliced bread. It was a dream come true. It's been downhill ever since.
Confession, I went to YouTube, I went to Spotify, I went hunting for that song. You are the key master if we are ever to hear that song.
It's awesome, I have to say. I don't know why I haven't released it yet. We will. We will.
Fast forward to October 9th, 2015. I am easily the oldest fan in the audience of some pre-show thing with you guys in Chicago. I looked around as I was enjoying myself and I was smiling. I was having a little bit of a dad moment because of knowing who your dad was. I'm a father to a son. And just looking around going, this is pretty cool. But then I realized I'm easily 15 years older than everyone in this moment. And I hope you're okay with that.
I'm so fine with that. That actually makes it better.
I love origin stories, Caleb. By the way, my son's name is Caleb, so there's a kindred thing happening right there.
Love it.
What's your first recollection of music and that moment of, oh, I like this. I really like this.
So I'll tell you the first thing that popped into my mind, which is I wish I could change this, but it's just the truth. For some reason, the first thing that popped into my mind is Santana and Rob Thomas's Smooth. And I would jam that song so, so much. Nonstop. And I remember talking to my dad, like, how does Santana make his guitar sound like that? Now it's kind of like a joke with me and my band on when our guitars do sound like that. That's probably not the first time that just popped in my head. I remember my dad we were on our way to the lake one, and it was just me, my dad, and my brother. And this was pretty early memory. And my dad was talking about Michael Jackson and Van Halen and how they, you know, they partnered up on Beat It. And me and Will were just like, what are you talking about? Van who? And he was like, you know, stopped the car, pulled in the Walmart and went and got the best of Van Halen and the best of Michael Jackson. And he was like, guys, I have already failed you as a father if you don't know who Van Halen is. And if you don't know that he rips one of the nicest solos ever on Beat It by Michael Jackson. that was a game-changing moment where the Best of Van Halen and Best of Michael Jackson became two of the most played discs in the Chapman family car.
The Van Halen brothers switched instruments early on. Have you always been guitar guy and your brother was drum guy? Was there ever a, I want to do that? Well, I want to do that.
Didn't know that about the Van Halen brothers. And maybe that's why we're so connected, because I actually got the drum set for Christmas all those years ago. I don't remember what year it would have been, but it was early on, and there was a drum set and a guitar when we came down. And the drum set was to me and the guitar was for Will. We took him down to the basement, and I bet it was 20 minutes where I was playing drums and Will was playing guitar. And I was like, nope, this is not what I want. And he was like, this is not what I want. And so we traded then and there, and that was that.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've mentioned mom and dad a couple of times, so we do need to, just in case, who is mom and dad?
My mom is Mary Beth Chapman, and that is her maiden name. And my dad is Stephen Curtis Chapman, and that is his maiden name.
Good morning, Pulse FM.
Hey, is this Corey Mann?
This is Corey Mann.
The man, the myth, the legend, truly, Corey Mann. Hey, this is Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy.
Great to hear from you.
Thank you. And talking to you is a good thing to do as well.
They met at college because they shared a mailbox, because their last name was both Chapman. It's a tale as old as time. And they fell in love. And my dad started writing songs, and that worked out for him.
Saddle up your horses.
And I am just trying to keep up at this point. Actually, I know I'm never going to catch up, so I'm not even trying to keep up. I'm just relishing in the fact that I have a really great songwriting father who will listen to me, listen to my ideas, and give me advice and help us navigate this crazy industry.
When did you realize who he was?
I don't really remember seeing kind of the like rise of SCC. I don't know, between like 5 and 10, those are kind of the earliest memories I have probably. And he was, you know, that was Great Adventure and Speechless and all of those massive albums. And it just kept, yeah. So it was always kind of normal to me to see dad go out on those big old stages. And I guess probably playing on the playground and like random kids somehow finding out who my dad was usually my friends being like, his dad is Stephen Curtis Chapman. Those were probably the moments where I was like, oh, other people know who my dad is. This could work out well for me.
Were you your dad's band in maybe 2010?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we started touring with my dad when I was 16 and my brother was 15. And so that would have been like 2006 or 7. And that when we were in high school and we started, my dad was like, hey, he gave us a list of songs. And he was like, if you can learn these, we'll do a rehearsal. And if you pull it off, then you can be my band. So we did. And we started playing. The first tour we did with my dad was a winter jam. Yeah. In my sophomore year of high school. And so we toured with dad through high school. And then after high school, for another 2 or 3 years, which would have been 2010, would have been within those years. Yeah, we played with dad. So, yeah.
You know, kids grow up with a newspaper route or pizza delivery boy. I'm hoping you got paid.
I did get paid. It helped me out. I got a jump start on a lot of things because of that. Dad paid. I wasn't a top dollar musician at that point, but it was a lot better than my friend's money, you know. My dad said, you have to get a job. When I was, I think it was 15, he was like, Caleb, it's time. You got to get a job. And it started out, I was like, he was like, I don't care what you do. You just need to start making money. And I was like, well, I'll teach guitar lessons. That's what your dad does. And he was like, that's great. And so I started teaching guitar lessons. Then he made me his guitar tech at first. And that's the most stressful job I've ever had in my whole life. Because his guitar tech is really the whole band's tech. And at that point, he's dealing with some high maintenance people. And I'm a 15-year-old responsible for calling cartage and getting all their gear to the bus. I'm like, Dad, this is too much pressure. This is like a grown man's job, not a kid in high school.
Was there or is there any pressure of being in Dad's shadow, or is that not a thing at all?
Not a thing at all. Not for me and Will. We just, it's kind of nice when your dad is the goat. And I'll just say it because I can. He would never say it. He's one of the greatest at what he does. It's kind of undeniable. He's one of the greatest. And that's because of so many things. One, he's just a very talented man. Two, he's always carried himself with the highest. His integrity has always been top notch. He is who he says he is on and off the stage. So there was never those like wires getting crossed at home. Like, hold on, Dad, that you are a lot cooler out there than you are here. And no, it was the world that was created was just a real world, you know, no pun intended. And so as we grew into musicians and wanting to do this as a career, it was kind of a relief to be like, Dad, you have just paved such an amazing road for us. Like we recognize the many doors it has opened for our band and probably how quickly it has expedited a lot of the things for us. While at the same time, we kind of want to do something different than you did. And that has been a gift for both of us because Dad can just work, you know, he can just be a dad and all of it, be our biggest fan. And he always has been a huge supporter of the band and the mission of the band. So
my wife and I saw your dad play by himself about 2 years ago. I'm going to go ahead right now and put it in my top 10 shows of the last decade. It was so good. Second story, he's touring with Third Day and he plays South Bend. And we have a little moment backstage and we've talked a handful of times. And I said, what are you excited about these days? And he said, my son's new record. And I said, Colony House? Because I started liking you. He goes, yeah. He goes, have you heard it? Have you heard anything? And I'm like, no. And he, in that moment, tried to figure out a way for him to play your music because he was so excited about it.
It doesn't surprise me. He's a proud, proud father.
Fill in the blank question. What I remember most about Colony House Apartments.
I'll tell you. Okay, I'll just hot take here. The first thing that came to my mind was that was the apartment that technically I never lived in the Colony House apartment. My wife did with my sister. They were roommates before we got married. So, and then after we got married and they moved out, we were planning to live there, but we ended up getting a house. My brother and Scott, another member of Colony House, moved in. So I was around Colony House a lot, never actually lived there. But I will say my time with my girlfriend, like those, it was like I was on tour so much. And that was always kind of the like place I would go and retreat to. It was just a really we were 18 and 19, maybe when we got engaged, 19 and 20 when we got married. It's kind of that it'll always have a special place in my heart as like kind of the place I moved out of my house. I didn't move into the Colony House, but I spent so much time there, I might as well have. So probably that just like that really sweet engagement time where it's like the world is about to change for us. And we're still kids, and this is a fun phase. We're in this kind of ratty apartment, you know.
Follow-up question. Did you have to call the main office and go, hey, we want to borrow that name?
We never called any offices. The only thing we had to figure out, this brings in my wife, actually, because this is hilarious. We were trying to get all the handles on social media to just be Colony House, Twitter, Instagram. But there was this online furniture store called Colony House from like the Northeast, and they hadn't posted anything. You know, I think they actually had like a retail outlet, but they were not in touch. And we were like, surely we can reach out and be like, hey, we're going to be using this a lot. are you cool if we, can we have the handle just Colony House? And they're like, absolutely not. This is our marketing, you know, this is our business, whatever. My wife called like three times. Eventually she was in tears. It was part of the plan. Cause she can pour it on. And she was like, you know, he's just a struggling musician and this is a really important part of his business. And it didn't work at the time, but I like to think she planted the seed because eventually someone on our team was able to get the handle. So anyways, we did have to do a little bit of recon on the name.
Late Night with Seth Meyers. Walk me through that day, that performance. I think that was one of the first times you're on big time TV.
It was. That's a fun story. So, and it involves my dad too. This is a great little character development of who Stephen Curtis Chapman is behind the scenes. Yes, it was our first time on late night television. We were nervous. We were, you know, it felt like you were gearing up for the championship game, the whole deal. And we really wanted to wear suits, matching suits. We thought it would be really cool. Our publicist was like, I don't know. It's your kids. You know, you don't need to wear suits. You just need to wear what you wear. And anyways, my dad was like, no, y'all are going to wear suits. It will look nice. And so he went, you know, you sound check early in the morning and then you have all day to think about all the ways you're going to mess up that night. And so we were just pacing in the, you know, I don't know, I guess it's the 30 Rock building or Rock of, I don't know. It's one of those real popular buildings. And we were just pacing in there. And dad's like, we got to get out of here and kind of get our minds off this. Let's go. He took us across the street to like H&M and he bought us all matching suits. He was like, y'all are going to match tonight. It's going to be awesome. So we come back and we put them all on. And our publicist is like, comes in and we're like, ah. And she goes, it's cute, but it's the wrong look. Y'all aren't, you know, and we were also kids at the time. At this point, we'd be like, sorry, we're going to do it. But we were so fresh and like, we want to make everyone happy. So we took the suits off, put our normal streetwear on pretty much. And my dad watched us play. And then he took the suits, returned the suits back after the performance. But one of the greater moments of that night, and I think if you can find it, I think it was this performance, is my parents had to go out and stand in line with everyone getting in. And dad and mom went to everyone in that line and said, hey, our sons are the band tonight. When they say Colony House, go crazy. And they got the whole, because it's not a huge audience. They got the whole audience. So Seth Meyers goes, and tonight, special guest, Colony House, you would have thought we were you too. Everyone was like, yeah. And Seth goes, oh, we got some Colony House fans in the audience. We were like, wow, this is awesome. Of course, mom and dad always doing what they can to prop up the boys. But yeah, I get so nervous about that stuff. And my brother's like, let's do this. He's all game for high pressure.
I glanced at your Instagram and I saw a post about what dates you'd already played in 2020. And then I saw Chicago, March 15th. I had my tickets.
That was going to be a good one.
And then shutdown happens. Two-part question. What have you been doing with your time? And do you think I'll get a refund?
Do not. Sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm going to blame the promoter.
What have you been doing with your time, Caleb?
So initially what I did with my time was I made a movie. I made a Colony House film, which was not in plan at all. But that initially, you know, everyone was in shock. And like, what do we do? Especially the artist communities. Like, we create because we know there's there's like the creative side of you that just creates to create. And then there's also this side that's like, I create because I'm going to hang this picture on the wall for someone to see eventually. And when you don't know when you're going to be able to hang that picture on the wall for everyone to come by and see it, it's hard to know even what you're aiming for. So right after all of that shut down, our front of house engineer, like a couple weeks later, sent us a few mixes from the tour. And he was like, hey, just, I've had a lot of free time. And I mixed, I don't know if you know this, but I was multi-tracking some of these shows. And I was like, well, no, Mikey, I did not know that. And he sent these mixes. And I was like, whoa, these are incredible. And so I called Will, my brother, and was like, you should get with Mikey and mix as many of these as possible. Maybe we get a live album out of this. So he did. And that's where the live album came from. Like just, and we didn't plan on, we didn't even know we were recording a lot of those. And so Will spent probably a month with Mikey, our front house engineer, mixing that. And as they were mixing it and sending me songs, I was like, I'm going to make kind of live videos from, you know, people come out and film the shows and I'll just go back and ask for all the footage. And then we had fans send in phone footage. And I was like, I'll just put together little live performances. So because, you know, at the time we didn't know how long this was going to take to get back out. And it'll be a way that we can kind of be like serving the audience, like, hey, here are these performances. And so I did that for the first two songs and put out part one of what ended up being a four-part film. After we put up part one, we got a lot of feedback and it was like, this is really good. And maybe there's something more here. So I went through all this footage that we had recorded from this trip we took out west. And it's where we like did all the music videos and shot the album art. We did this like kind of this impromptu trip out through the western part of the States, just us in the van with a friend videoing and shooting photos. And we had so much behind the scenes footage from that I was like, I think we could tell a story here. And so I edited together like an hour long movie that we ended up premiering in Franklin, my hometown, Franklin, Tennessee, on a huge drive-in screen. We ended up doing like two nights of like 400 cars, and we premiered a film and then we played a show, and it was epic. I was like, one, I'm checking off bucket list after bucket list. So now I've played a drive-in, I've made a movie, people came and saw the movie, and now we're getting to play one of the biggest shows we've ever played. You know, we had iMag and cameras. I was like, hey, maybe we should do this more often. this has turned out to be really cool. So that took up the first part of this pandemic. And now we are, you know, we put together the live album, which took a lot of time, which was nice.
Which, by the way, amazing sounding live record.
Thank you.
Masterpieces I will never know, 'cause everybody's looking for some light. You know, everybody's looking for some light.
Dive into that bad boy, put some headphones on. It's really special. You've really captured who you guys are.
Thank you. Well, I think that's because we didn't get in the way of it, or I didn't. I'm usually the one that's overthinking. It's too raw or whatever. And we didn't plan on it. And it's a real representation. You know, I have my brother and Mikey, our front of house engineer, to thank for, you know, diving into that. I mean, we didn't overdub or anything. It is truly from the board.
Final question. The phone rings. Who would you like to be on the other line, and they are offering you to tour with fill in the blank?
Oh, I mean, the no-brainer is like U2. We'll just go straight to the top.
Where we met, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this in the email. Was it 360 or was it the Joshua Tree?
Joshua Tree, night two. And you had the very much, I am so pumped to see this show face.
Oh, man. That was the show. I mean, come on. That was something.
Yeah.
I would say that I've never thought about this till this moment, but I have to believe that Leave What's Lost Behind is what it is, largely because of obviously the Joshua Tree, but maybe because of even that show, just being like, we went so hard after that U2 grandiose vibe with, you know, even in the title, Leave What's Lost Behind, it's like, yeah, that sounds like U2 would put out something like that. Just unashamed. For a while there, U2 was kind of like, nah, don't touch U2 because they're kind of like, you know, this is like on the inside of the Christian music industry. It's like every worship band in the world wanted to be U2. So it's like, you kind of got to stay away from the dotted eighth, like ticka-ticka-ticka thing. And then there was a certain point where we were like, actually, I want to be U2. And I don't care who knows it. Oh, man, that was an amazing show.
But if the phone rang.
Ooh, Kings of Leon, they're about to put out a new album. I'd go out with Kings. Cage the Elephant, just some good old, they're all Southern boys making good rock and roll music. And I feel like we'd get along. Big Kings of Leon fans, big Cage the Elephant fans. We're not hard to convince to go on. We've done some of our bucket list tours already, which is pretty rad. Switchfoot and Need to Breathe, both bands that inspired us greatly. We've been able to share the stage with them. So we'll just keep aiming for the bands that inspire us, and we'll see.
One of my favorite Colony House moments was watching your brother basically drum that whole show for Need to Breathe. It was almost like, oh, he's out there for a special little one-time thing. And if I'm not mistaken, he sat there the whole night.
He played every song. Yeah.
I saw that in Indianapolis. It was so, so good. So good.
Yeah. So it was a special show.
This has been a treat, Caleb Chapman. All my questions have been answered.
Wow.
We left no stone unturned.
Indeed. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks. I want to talk more. I've been pandemic life. I've tried to. Usually after these end, I'm like, wow, Caleb, you've got to close your mouth and just chill, bro. But I'm like, oh, I've just been cooped up. I can't help it. I need to talk.
Yeah. Please pass along to your compadres great new live record. And here's hoping we get to see you again on the road. Okay.
Yes, sir.
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.